I always use a chair while teaching because Jesus sat when he taught. At least his most important messages. Praise God. Father, thank you for your ways. Thank you for all your goodness. We ask you to come and meet with us tonight. Will you speak from heaven? Will you show us what's on your mind, upon your heart? We ask for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. The last several months, the Lord has been dealing with me and speaking to me about the things that are coming upon the earth, and several things have happened that have helped to impress this in my own heart in a major way. Here in Daniel chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn, or speaking of the Antichrist, made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. I like that. Amen? And then going on in verse 25, speaking of the Antichrist again, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. It's because he hates the Father. The Father would not give him what he wanted. Satan, I'm referring to. And so there's this constant tearing down of the Most High God. He shall speak against the Most High and shall wear out. And as we looked at on Tuesday, that is a mental wearing out. The Hebrew word or Chaldean word infers that it's a mental battle, especially that takes place. And he shall think to wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change or alter times and laws. And they shall be given into the hand until a time and dividing of times, or 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Our Father has complete control of everything. Christ and the overcomers have the ultimate victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe God wants the church today to understand that God has everything under control. We need to see that in the light of the coming events. And many people read the book of Revelation and are full of fear and so forth. But I believe God wants to give us understanding. The Antichrist has an appointed and a limited time that the Father has appointed to him. There's no doubt that this time is going to be extremely difficult for us, but God wants us to see the victory that is ahead for the church. Now, as I said before, God is in full control of all these events. It is prophesied and appointed by him well in advance that we will know who is in charge of everything. God is in charge. There are no accidental deaths. martyrs are appointed by God. And it's interesting that in Hebrews chapter 11, Paul there writes about those who refused deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. They had a word from God that they were to die a martyr's death and they would obtain a better resurrection through it. There's no accidental deaths, but only those appointed by God. Pastor Bailey said a number of years ago, nothing comes into our lives that is not appointed by God for our good. And we want to know that. We want to have the assurance of that. I look back over my wife and I's lives, and we've had two fairly major car accidents. The amazing thing about both of them is God showed us before that they were going to happen. He let us know ahead of time. Now, we didn't try to help out the accidents because we knew, but the Lord let us know what was coming. The last accident, we were going through a car wash, and the Lord showed me the whole thing, and then 5 minutes down the road, it took place. I didn't even tell my wife beforehand, so she wouldn't be nervous. She was driving, and I didn't want her to be nervous. Neither of the accidents were our fault, but God had a purpose, and He worked in our lives through those things. And I want to just encourage everyone. God is in control. We can trust Him. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 and 13, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of the sufferings of Christ, in Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." And I believe God wants us to understand that the events of the end time, and as we mentioned on Tuesday, they are to separate those that love God from those that hate Him. And God wants to use the sufferings that will be ahead for us, even the pressure, and the word tribulation means pressure, the pressures that are going to come against the church are to perfect the church and prepare it for the second coming and to prepare the bride for the Lord Jesus Christ in His coming. And I want to encourage us. We don't want to live in fear. We don't want to have in our hearts trembling because of the events taking place around us and the darkness that is in the earth in these days. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul writes, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, we are witnessing in a measure, and I'm sure it's going to increase. We're witnessing a great falling away, or the collapse of moral standards and changing of God's laws in the nations of the earth. And it really is increasing at a rapid pace. It seems like there are those whose hearts are set to change what God established, which is good, which is perfect and right, and is a blessing for the people of God and would be for the whole earth if they would accept and practice it. But they're changing these things, and we are becoming aware of these changes around us and in the nations of the earth. The reason is the stage is being set for the coming of Antichrist, but even more so for the coming of Christ. These are signs that we want to be aware of. When you see these things, see, Jesus taught in Matthew 24, and he says, when you see these things coming on the earth, and God wants us to have our hope in him, he wants us to be those that allow the pressure in those days that is going to affect all of our lives to press us into God so that there's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. How many of you have seen a glorious church? In your dreams, maybe. But there's going to be a glorious church. Amen? God, it will absolutely have a glorious church. And I hope I'm here to see that, but if I'm not, I'll praise God nevertheless. It'll be a delight to see what God's going to accomplish in those days ahead. And God does not want those that love and obey him to walk in fear of coming events. We are expectant of the greatest revival the earth has ever known. And God is going to show his power and his glory and bring in the most bountiful harvest the earth has ever known. Now, there's several things that are very important for us to develop in our lives to carry us through that time of tremendous pressure. And on Wednesday, we heard an excellent message about the fear of the Lord, and we must develop the fear of the Lord in our lives. We want to have the fear of the Lord in our hearts so that we can stand in the days ahead. Now, that's not a fear of the unholy Trinity. Very important. It's not a fear of the unholy Trinity. It's a fear of our God. It's a fear of the Holy Trinity. And the unholy Trinity are not in control. They have a time. They have certain things they have to accomplish, but they are not in control. Our God reigns. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. So we want to have the fear of the Lord in our life, and we want to have that awe and respect for him. We want to care more what he thinks about us than anyone else. So many people are influenced by the fear of man. There's no hearty amens to that one. But you think about it. How many people are governed by what somebody else thinks of them? But the only thing that matters is what our Heavenly Father thinks of us. And we want to settle those issues and have that fear of the Lord clear in our heart. In Luke 12, verse 4 and 5, Jesus said, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after which have no more that they can do. That's very important, isn't it? Especially when you read all the apocalyptic literature. That fear can be debilitating, but God has not intended that. And that's why Jesus gives this admonition, fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. I say unto you, fear him. And that's who we want to fear, is the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Now, we must understand that there will be great revival, but also there's going to be great opposition from the powers of darkness against the church. And all of this is ordained by God to perfect the church and to bring it to maturity, to bring it through maturity. A woman knows that she is about to birth her child because of pressure. Pressure that comes. And when the pressure comes, we know that the glorious church is about to emerge. Praise God. And we want to understand that and have peace in our hearts. Now, we mentioned before that the Antichrist, when he comes, he's going to speak great words against the Most High and seek to wear out the saints. Now, several weeks ago, maybe even a little longer now, I forget, but the Lord had been speaking to me about the events that were going to happen, not so much from a theological point of view, but from a point of view of what the church needs to understand to be able to endure, and how we should respond to events that take place. And with in mind that this is a mental wearing out, I was praying and I said, Lord, what's that going to be like? And one night, I was awakened in the middle of my night, and I had this horrible experience. And it was of the spirit of Antichrist. And it was afflicting my mind, and I had thoughts that were horrible against God. And I cried out to God, and I says, oh, God, deliver me from this horrible thing. And the Lord broke it immediately. But I had a sense in my heart, and the Lord spoke to me later and said, that is a taste of some of the things that are going to come against the people of God in the days ahead. And that spirit of Antichrist, even though the Antichrist is not yet revealed in the earth, that spirit of Antichrist is working even at this time. And God wants us to be able to, by the grace of God, stand against it, battle against it, and overcome and have the victory. And if you have unusual experiences, and it's amazing, the staff here have been having a number of unusual experiences the last while. And I know that, the Lord spoke to me that Satan also has an idea of some of the things that are in the future. He knew what was going to be in this convention. And a number of us have been experiencing great difficulties in preparation for the convention. But I believe it's God is letting us taste of some of the pressures that are coming in the days ahead, so we're not shocked, and so we can encourage and strengthen others in the body of Christ in the days ahead. Now, there will be tremendous warfare in the days ahead. Satan knows his end. He knows his days are numbered, but he's going to battle for the souls of men and do everything he can possibly do. There is going to be tremendous deception in these last days. And God wants us to be aware of that. And we want to understand this. If something is obviously false. Nobody's going to be deceived by it unless they just want to believe a lie, and there are people like that. But the deception is going to be so keen in the days ahead that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect, which is one of the signs that we're not all going to be raptured before the Great Tribulation, because there will be elect that are still on the earth before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God wants us to be able to battle in the days ahead and be aware and not be deceived by any means, because we love the truth, because we know the Lord, we have the fear of God, we have a meekness worked into our life, we have righteousness worked into our life, because it may be you'll be hidden in the day of the Lord's wrath, God says in Zephaniah 2:3. And God wants us to be able to battle in those days the deception that'll come, and realize that even though that deception is very keen, it's very strong, by the grace of God we can stand against it and recognize what is true and what is false. But the reality is that there will be deceivers that are very close. Very close. Look very good. We'll only be able to see as the Lord opens our eyes who is who. And I think we need to be aware of that. We need to be very discerning in the days ahead. And, you know, it's interesting, when you go to China, you can buy these designer bags. I actually asked my wife if she had any of them. And she did have, but I don't know where they are now. But you can get designer bags that you buy on the streets. And the prices are incredible. And the name on them is also. Because they look just like the real thing, but the name just has one letter difference sometimes to make it look like the real thing. And people think, wow, what a deal. And then they get it home and they see the name of it. It's not the name of whoever the guy is in Italy or France that designed it. They're mock models. And no wonder they're so cheap. But they're not real. But they fool a lot of people. And the deception coming on the earth will be like that. But God wants us to be aware. Any of us could be deceived except for the mercy of God. If we love the truth, if we love Him and we obey His voice, He absolutely can deliver us. He can keep us. And I want to encourage you with that hope. But there's tremendous warfare in the days ahead. And I realize that the thought of warfare is not pleasing to most people. Especially the ladies many times don't like to think about fighting. But all of us, I believe, are going to have to know spiritual warfare. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 through 6, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And I emphasize that, through God. It's through Him that we have the victory. It's not because of any thing in us. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In our own strength, we have no might against the powers of darkness. Our enemies, within our flesh, we have no power to overcome them. Yet, God says that He can give us the victory. He can cause us to overcome. And the amazing thing is this, that sometimes it's only one word. It's only one word that will give the victory. There's a brother I never had the opportunity to meet. And he was a teacher of a couple of our teachers in Bible school days. And this brother, I heard on a tape a message he was telling about one time when God set him apart before actually his ministry began to go seek the Lord. And he went to a motel and sought the Lord for several days, and at the end of it, he said, I guess nothing's going to happen. And he said, when he said that, all of a sudden, the glory of God began to come into his room. And he says it just came in like a fog coming in and filling that whole room with the glory of God, and the Lord came in to that glory. And the Lord began to speak to him and go through his life and explain to him what God was going to do in his ministry in the days ahead. And then, in the same way that the Lord had come in, he left in that same manner, and the glory of God kind of gathered together, and he walked out. He said as soon as the Lord left, Satan came in the same way as the Lord had. Only it was not the glory of God coming in with him. It was the filth and pollution of his nature surrounding him. And he came in and he began to attack this brother. And he said it was so powerful. He finally cried out to God and he says, God, I don't know if I can stand against this any longer. And he says, Lord, help me. And all of a sudden, he says, the voice of the Holy Ghost began to sing out of his spirit, Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? How many know that song? Ah, there's a lot of us oldies. The younger generation don't know it. But when the Holy Ghost started singing that song through him, Satan packed up his presence and left the room and left this man. See, God has a key for every battle. God has a key. He has a way to give victory in every battle. And it may not be the same method every time. That's why we want to stay close to the Lord. But God wants to teach us, he wants to prepare us in warfare in these days, spiritual warfare. And we want to learn. See, Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ and having a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, we must obey the voice of the Lord. When God speaks to us, we must do what He says to do to have the victory over that attack of Satan. And I want to encourage you that God wants to give us the victory. In Psalm 144 and verse 1 and 2, David said, "Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Our hands even have a place in spiritual warfare. Clapping our hands, lifting our hands. It's part of spiritual warfare at times. In Psalm 9, again, David says in verse 1, "I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart, and I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, then they shall fall and perish at thy presence." See, there's times when God gives us a song of praise to sing unto Him. And that defeats the powers of darkness. And God wants us to understand that. It's good to have a song of praise going on all the time. All the time. Sometimes you sing it in your head because other people are around and you don't want to disturb them. But God wants us to have songs of praise that give us the victory. During World War II, Adolf Hitler made the statement that he was always guided by a presence. I've been amazed that I hear this term being used in a Christian book. But with Hitler, he said that the only time that he did not listen to that presence and made a tragic mistake was when he signed an accord at Munich in 1938. In the book Intercessor, written by Rhys Howells, it was a time when there was tremendous intercession because God had said, "I want to change the mind of Hitler." Although the Munich Accord was seen as political tragedy, the signing of that agreement was actually of God because it halted Hitler's momentum, although he regained it later. That evil presence was thwarted, enabled the Western Allies eventually to win the war. But where was the main battle fought? It was fought in a prayer meeting, in intercession by Rhys Howells and others that were gathered together. And God may lead us in days ahead into intercession that is going to be critical to defeat the powers of darkness. Now, we can't plan those things. We cannot make them happen. Only God can provoke intercession. But oh, we want to be vessels that are familiar with intercessory prayer. We want to be those that God can use to travail at times in the Spirit, that we can see victories won. Now, in David's life, David was called to warfare. He was called to be a warrior. He was called to lead Israel's armies to possess Mount Zion, to take them to their final destination, which was Mount Zion. And David was led by God, and he was able to take them into that victory. But we notice some different attributes in David's life that are very notable. David always consulted the Lord before he went into battle. He went before the Lord before he went to battle. He asked God for direction. After David became king, the Philistines rose up against David. And David went to war with them. He inquired of the Lord, and he says, "Shall I go up against the Philistines?" Sometimes you walk away from a battle if God's not in it. But God said, "Go up." And then David said, "Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." And David defeated them. But later, they returned again against David. But David didn't assume his battle plan. The first war was going to be the battle plan for the second. And again, he sought the Lord. And when he sought the Lord, God spoke to him and he said, "When you hear the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, and the Lord will go before you, and he'll smite the host of the Philistines." See, totally different battle plans. And we must learn to seek God. "Lord, what is the key to the victory in this situation?" In Song of Solomon, chapter 6, and verse 13, the scripture here speaks of the company of two armies. The company of two armies. And yes, the Lord is the Lord of hosts. The Lord, that word hosts means armies, the Lord of armies. And there's two armies. There's the army on earth, but there's the armies of heaven. The armies of heaven. And we must learn to hear from the Lord and move with the armies of heaven. It's essential that we obey the voice of the Lord, that we hear from Him, and that we respond. And God's going to work in all of our lives. He's going to give us practice opportunities. We're going to have many opportunities to hear God's voice and obey it. Some of them may be very simple, little things that God will speak to us, but He's training us to obey Him. He's training us to obey Him. In our church that I once pastored long ago, can't remember how many years ago now, my practice was to go in first thing in the morning into the sanctuary and walk around the sanctuary and worship. And, you know, just keep going around there. And one time, there was a piece of paper on the floor. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "Pick up that piece of paper." And I says, "Lord, we pay a lady good money to clean the church. I don't want to take away her job." The Lord said, "I said, pick up the paper." And I said, "Yes, sir, Lord." And I obeyed Him. And I'm glad. I don't know what all was connected to that obedience. But I know when God says something, I want to obey Him. Because it may be rehearsal for a time that is going to be vital. Amen? And I want to encourage all of us. We want to practice that obedience to the voice of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18, Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than y'all. And I think the reason was he had more pressure than most of the other disciples and apostles. He had tremendous pressures in his life. And he prayed in tongues much. And I believe God wants us to understand that praying in tongues is very valuable in spiritual warfare. Now, when we're speaking in other tongues, we're speaking mysteries unto God. It's the Holy Ghost praying through us. He may be praying things that we don't understand and maybe we'll never understand them, but there are times when even the Lord will interpret to us what we're praying when we're praying in tongues. But I know this, there are times when you're quickened to pray in other tongues and it's spiritual warfare and you win the battle through praying in other tongues. And we may need to be praying in tongues very much in the days ahead with the pressure that will be coming in the earth in the days ahead. There's an old hymn that we sang in Bible school, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And there's a verse that goes, The Prince of Darkness Grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. Now, fell here is like felling a tree. When you cut down a tree, you fell that tree. You cause it to collapse. And that's what happens when the Holy Spirit speaks through us. One word at times can be enough. One word. One little word will fell him. One little word can fell the powers of darkness. When we hear from God, see, we can't just speak words indiscriminately, but when we seek the Lord, God wants to give us that which is going to break the power of the enemy. He wants to give us the victory, and we want to be those that are well practiced. Amen? We want to be well practiced. We want to be those that know spiritual warfare. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and verses 13 through 22, and it'll be up there, but I'm not going to read it. But we know that Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah had an attack from the Ammonites, Moabites, and Mount Seir. And they sought the Lord, and God gave direction to Jehoshaphat to set the priests before the people and singers, and they began to sing unto the Lord. And when they sang and praised the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the enemy. And I want to encourage you that many times God will use praise in spiritual warfare. And we want to know the song and how loud to sing it. Many times, it says in the scripture, they sang with a loud voice. And there's a time and place that we should do that. In Psalm 149, verses 1 through 9, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let his saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Amen. My wife wears earplugs. It's very useful. Very useful. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Amen. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all ye his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Now, we've mentioned at least four or five different methods that God may use us as weapons for spiritual warfare. And I want to encourage us tonight that we must learn to wage spiritual war for the days ahead. We don't initiate war. But when the Lord initiates it, when the Lord initiates it, when the Holy Ghost gives us a battle plan, when we've sought God and he speaks to our heart, see, God gave me the battle plan in Ethiopia to deal with that spirit that rises up and tried to defeat what God wanted to do in that place. And the spirit over the place totally changed. And the noise, the other noise as well, stopped. And God wants us to have the victory. He wants us to have the victory. He doesn't want us to fear, but he wants us to have the victory. And we can have victory over all of our enemies if we'll walk humbly with our God, if we'll be full of the fear of God, if we'll have righteousness established in our lives and walk with a meek and quiet spirit before God. God can give us the victory. He can cause us to overcome all the power of the enemy. And God wants us to be prepared. There's no reason for us to be fearful of the powers of darkness. We should fear him who, after we've died, can put us into hell for eternity. And God wants us to have that hope. A mighty fortress is our God. I don't remember how many years ago that was written, but it wasn't in my lifetime. And they had the vision that we don't tremble for the prince of darkness. Amen? Oh my. We better become convinced. Is there any controversy? We don't tremble for the prince of darkness. His rage we can endure by the grace of God. His doom is sure. It's prophesied. God let it be prophesied 2,000 years ago so that we would know of an assurance that God is in control. He names everything that's going to happen to the powers of darkness and to the church. He lets us know so that we know he's in control. And one little word shall fall, will bring them down when God is in it. One word even. One word can defeat him. And God wants us to know victory in the days ahead. Now, we don't go arrogantly against the powers of darkness. They are stronger than we are. in our own natural strength. We have no power to stand against them in our flesh. But as we walk in obedience to the Lord, and as we war in the Spirit, none of them can stand against us. None of them. And God wants us to have that assurance. He wants us to have that victory. Amen. Do you believe God? I believe God. I believe God will give us the victory. And I don't say that lightly, but I've experienced some things to know that He will give us the victory. And I want to encourage you. These are days we want to give attention to developing the fear of the Lord in our life. That all we care about is what God thinks of us. And that we do His will. We don't have the fear of man. We have the fear of God in our life. And we seek meekness, seek righteousness. It may be you'll be hidden in the day of the Lord's wrath. And we want to seek these things so that we might stand in victory in the days ahead and be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ if we're not in the man-child company. Amen? Praise God. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. We're going to open our hearts, and I think this is an appropriate time to sing loud. To sing loud. God wants to bring victory among us. God wants to cause us to overcome. And even the things that, especially the staff, has been going through the last while, God wants to clear it all out. Amen? He wants to clear it out, and He wants to give us perfect peace. And attacks you've been having in the night and things like that, God won't stand it. I don't know what visitors have been facing, but I know what's been going on around here. And God wants to meet with us. He wants to give us mighty victory.